of heights to the depths of the sea.
Look what it says. He says, judge not that you be not judged. And immediately everyone is going, oh no, this is really going to be really tough. Yes, it's going to be really hard. It's not going to be exciting, but it's good for us. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you.
Every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly pray.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. Here, Jesus moved to another idea in the Sermon on the Mount. He had preliminarily dealt with themes connected with the interior spiritual life, like attitudes in giving, prayer, fasting, materialism, and anxiety over material things. Now he touches on an important theme related to the way we think of and treat others. We remember that Jesus called for the righteousness that was greater than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. In the way some people think, the way to make oneself more righteous is to be more judgmental of others. Jesus here rebukes that kind of thinking. Now let's join Pastor Rob with today's message.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, these three chapters, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And of all the places in the Bible, this is one of those sections that we don't want to just rush through. We want to take our time because Jesus is sharing with his disciples the very life that we ought to be expecting, and he expects us to live, and a life that certainly we can ascribe to. These things that we're discussing are very difficult in the natural, but in the spiritual, with God's equipping, we're able to do them only through him. Can anybody do these things in the natural? I mean, can you imagine trying to live the way Jesus is showing us, these attitudes, these kingdom ideas, these ways of living? Can you imagine trying to do that before you got saved? Before you came to Jesus? You'd be frustrated. And even as Christians, we can be frustrated. But I want to encourage you this morning that even though we look at these things and they seem like they're unattainable, understand that God wants to work through you. He wants to work in you and through you. So don't be discouraged by these things, because remember, we are in the process of sanctification. Every one of us, when we came to Christ, God didn't just sprinkle pixie dust over us and all of a sudden we were perfect. In his sight, we were made in Christ. And right now, this is a mystery. Right now, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. He already sees us perfected. And never lose sight of that, because in your own experience, as you go through life, you sin, you make bad choices, you do things, and you feel awful. And the devil is right there, including your own flesh, saying, you know, you've really blown it this time, and God can't forgive you. In fact, he won't. You're supposed to be an example. You're supposed to be an ambassador of Christ. And then you pull this? The angels are all tearing. That's why it's raining today. The angels are crying. And then you, yeah, it's true. And the devil's going, yeah, rotten Christian. But is that really the way God sees us? I mean, as a born-again believer, you are the apple of his eye. Yes, Israel is the apple of his eye. Don't get me wrong. But he loves you more than you can possibly imagine. His job, his heart is not to browbeat you, to pummel you. He wants to love on you. But yes, it does require a death to self. And is it easy? No, it's not easy. In fact, it's hard at times, because we have to face this person in the mirror. When you looked in the mirror this morning, you had to look at that guy and say, there's a death sentence on you. You're dead. But the newness of life through Christ, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So be encouraged with that brothers and sisters. Don't be discouraged. There's enough discouragement in the world. In fact, we were just talking about it in the prayer room this morning. Let the joy of your salvation, has it gone somewhere? The joy of your salvation? Has it kind of taken a back seat? Is it waning? Are you starting to wonder, Lord, are you really there? Are you, you know, all the difficult things that we see in the world around us? Anybody having a problem with that? I'm having a problem with it. And if you're not having a problem with it, you're either one of two things. You're not paying attention, or you just don't care. But the thing is I do care. And why? I mean, certainly my eyes are on heaven, and so should yours be as well. But we also have to live here for however long the Lord has us. And what is happening on this earth matters. And it matters to your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren, should the Lord tarry. All of these things matter because they affect other people. They affect other people. That's why it's such a big deal. And so we are citizens of two different kingdoms. The most important is the kingdom of God, but we're also here. We're citizens of this country. And so it's important that we uphold that and we pray for it and we do everything we can that God would be glorified and that the right things would be done and that we pray for those things. Follow me? And so Jesus wants to encourage you today, even though we're going to be talking about some hard things. Now, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we looked at the Beatitudes in chapter 5, and we looked last week about this idea of not worrying. You know, we can't add one cubit to our stature by worrying. In fact, the vast majority of the things that we worry about don't ever come to pass. That's a statistic. The vast majority of the things that we worry about, and it's in the 90s, the 90 percentile of things that we worry about don't actually come to pass. We worry about them. They take away our sleep. They rob us of our peace. They cause us to spend more money so that we can quell the anxiousness, whether it's, you know, pills or for unbelievers, they take drugs or they take alcohol, whatever they do to quell this hurt, this anxiety. But you and I, we can go to Christ. We can go to him, and we don't have to worry. That sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? We don't have to worry. We really don't have to worry. Jesus said it. Don't worry. He's got it under control. And guess what? The worst is yet to come, but guess what? The church is not going to be here at the very worst. Are we going to go through some difficulties? Yes. I believe we're going to go through some difficult times, but you hang on to the Lord because he's got a hold on you. And you know what? I love the picture of a young child grabbing its father's leg and just holding on for dear life. And wherever the father goes, the son or the daughter is going. Hang on to the Lord. Don't lose heart. Don't lose your faith in Christ over the difficulties that you see around us. Hang in there and know that God has got everything under control. Everything under control. The economy, he's got the elections, he's got everything in the palm of his hands. He's already seen it. He knows what's coming. In fact, he told us to know what to prepare for. And so why did we go through the book of Revelation? Why are we continually bringing up these things? Because God wants to prepare you and I so that we don't have to worry. We're not taken off guard. Does everybody know where things are going? Could there be a reprieve in our country for a short time? It's possible. But ultimately, know this. You've read Revelation. We know what Revelation 13 is about. We've read 17 and 18, the one world economy, the one world religion, the one world currency, and the government. It's all going that direction. He told you in advance so that you wouldn't be afraid. So he knows, and therefore we know. So now, what can we do? Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. Let's not lose the joy of our salvation. Probably the greatest witness you and I are going to have is when we walk around with a smile on our face in the midst of chaos, because the Lord knows what he's doing. And he has not appointed you to wrath, to his wrath. Are we going to receive the wrath of man? Possibly. But we will not experience God's wrath. He has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Yes. All right, let's open to chapter 7. Now Jesus continues on in this Sermon on the Mount that he gives on this beautiful place along the side, the western side of the Galilee. And he says, we're just going to look at the first 12 verses. I don't even know if we'll get through all of that today, but look what it says. He says, "Judge not that you be not judged." And immediately everyone is going, oh no, this is really going to be really tough. Yes, it's going to be really hard. It's not going to be exciting, but it's good for us. "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. And knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Wow, that's a mouthful, isn't it? It really is, and it's difficult. And we live in a difficult time. And, you know, Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged." And that brings fear into most people's lives because we've all heard people tell us, you know, "Don't judge me," and we bring something to their attention. And that's a lot of the times the world likes to use that to pigeonhole us and to silence us, because whenever somebody says, "Don't judge me," what that means is the Holy Spirit just zapped them and they didn't like it. But they're going to blame you because you're the only representative of his in their view. So people take these things out on you. "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." This word "judge" it literally means to condemn or to damn or making a decree. It's a final sentence, if you will, okay? It's a final sentence, and this scripture gets maligned an awful lot in our culture. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't judge actions, because whether they are good or evil or right or wrong, we need to know right and wrong, and we do know. Inherently in our hearts, we know right from wrong. From birth, we know that it's wrong to steal. And you know it when a child is looking at a sibling who's maybe a year ahead of them, and they steal something, and they grab it out of their hand, and they're looking around because they know they're guilty. God has put that in us. It's a conscience, and it's a wonderful thing because our conscience is something that God places there, and we can either allow that conscience to be seared and to totally ignore it and then to continue in our hellish direction, or we can take that conscience and say, "Lord, I come into agreement with you. Would you please help me?" And God's going, "I am so glad to help. I'm so glad you asked." Excuse me. But judging doesn't mean that we can't know right for wrong, because we do need to do that. And God has given us that conscience, and we know it's wrong to steal and murder. So we have to be able to judge our own actions. So this verse really can't mean that. And so typically when you bring a sin issue, as I've said before, to somebody and it hits a nerve, excuse me, and the first thing that'll come out of our mouths is, "Don't judge me, brother." Has anybody had that happen? Raise your hand if you've had that. Pardon me. Yeah, it happens. But that is not judging them necessarily, because that's just you pointing out what isn't right. Judging them is passing sentence upon them and condemning them. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're going down 5 Mile Line Road, it's 35 miles an hour, at least in my trek that I travel. Now, if I'm going 85 miles an hour down 5 Mile Line in a 35 mile an hour zone, and a police officer pulls me over, am I going to roll down my window before I give him my license and registration? Hey, man, don't judge me. I deserve to get whacked with a baton. Get out of the car, punk. Not only are you going to get a big fine for this, but I'm taking you downtown and feeding you to the wolves. And I would deserve such, going 85 in a 35, certainly. But see, I wouldn't say that because the law judges me. The law is already in effect. The law is the one that judges me, and you're going to pay a very large fine, have points against your license. You may even lose your license altogether. But what does it tell us in John chapter 3? I love this. And this word condemn that we see here that I've got in red is the same word that Jesus says, judge not, lest you be judged with the same measure. He says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn or to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, there is coming a time when he will judge the earth, but when he came in his first advent, when he first came in the womb of the Virgin Mary miraculously, he was here to save the world. He wasn't here to judge it. That day is coming. But he who does not believe in him, in Christ, or he who believes in him, excuse me, is not condemned or judged, finally and ultimately judged. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, we cannot and should not condemn anyone. God is the only one who can do that because he knows all things. Jesus in John chapter 5, verse 22 said, for the Father judges no one, for he has committed all judgment to the Son. God the Father doesn't even do that. He leaves all the judgment to the Son. Why? Because the Son is the one who paid the price for you and I. He is the only one who is rightfully able to judge. I am not. I don't have all authority. I don't have the mind of God in the sense that I know all things. I don't know all the information. I don't even know what motivates me sometimes, much less you. And so we walk around and we can judge people and we can pigeonhole them and say, well, God is done with you. Is that judging? Yes, it is. Because you're basically saying, you're passing sentence and saying, God is done with you. Well, another year down the road, that person might get saved. And so your judgment makes no difference. God is the one who judges. In John chapter 12, Jesus speaking, he said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me shall not abide in darkness. And if any man hears my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him, and that is the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. Yes, he came not to judge initially, but he will come and judge the earth. But see, I don't have all the information on any given thing, and thus I can't pass ultimate judgment on anyone or condemn anyone. I'm not qualified. Are anybody here qualified? Raise your hand if you are. And the ushers will take you outside. Gently, of course, and then shut the door. No, none of us are. We're not qualified like God on any matter of in a righteous manner because we might not have all the information. So we need to be careful about judging others' motives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul speaking to them says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. And here's the verse. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and he will reveal the counsels, that is, the motives. He will reveal, when Christ comes for the church and we are with him, he will be able to discern all motives. And that's why we have that Bema seat judgment for works that we've done. And it's a works. It's not a works of whether we go to heaven or hell at that point, but it's one of rewards or losing rewards. But he knows the counsels of the heart. He knows the motive, and I'm not capable of judging your motive for whatever it is that you do. It's not fair for me to judge your motive because I don't know your heart. We all do things that others, if they come in the middle of an action, they don't know what happened prior to any given moment to understand what is the motive for what you're saying. What is the motive for what you're doing? And notice, and then an example of this is if you're in line at a very popular store and there's a line of people waiting, and suddenly this young boy, there's a big line out the door, and it's a really great donut shop. Really great donut shop. And so everybody's lined up, fresh donuts on Saturday morning, beautiful skies, cider and the whole nine yards. They're all lined up, and there's a little boy way down at the end, and he comes running up, and everybody sees him running. They're like, what is he doing? And everyone's starting to get really mad. He goes up, he grabs a donut from the servant at the cashier, and he grabs it, and he runs, and men are like, I'm going to go get that guy, and you got three guys chasing him because he's a thief. And then finally, he runs back, and everybody's upset and angry, and little do they know that his mother is having going into a diabetic coma. And so he gives the donut or the sugary drink to his mother to revive her before the paramedics come. And do you see how important it is to understand the bigger details? Because immediately they're judging him. What a young rat. I'm going to pound him. You know, and the rage comes up. And I can't believe who raised this kid, you know. And everybody's just like incensed. And little do they know that his mother's on the verge of dying or going into a coma, and he knows that sugar is what she needs. We don't have all the information. We immediately judge. We don't have it. We don't know what happened prior. We don't know the circumstances. And isn't it so fun? It's not fun at all, actually. It's so disgusting how even in social media, you see people doing this stuff. They don't even know what they're talking about, and they've already passed sentence on an action before they know all the details. I don't know about you, but it's hard to get to the bottom of any truth in this world. It's hard to get to the bottom. That's why Jesus said in John 7, he says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 16 when Samuel was sent by God to Jesse, and Jesse had 8 sons. And remember, his youngest son, David, was out shepherding the sheep, but his other 7 sons, it looked like that little picture that people have stickered on the back of their SUV, you know, with the kids, and they're all into the tall and going all the way down to the small. Well, Jesse brings all of these 7 boys, his sons, before Samuel, because Samuel's going to anoint one of them to be king. And Samuel, remember, he goes up and he looks at Eliab, the firstborn. Oh, he's blonde. He's beautiful. He's wearing that cologne that everybody likes. And he's handsome. He's got some muscle too. That must be the guy. And God's going, no. And God says to Samuel, what did he say? Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Aren't you glad that God does? He looks at the inward. He is the perfect judge. Because I can fool you and you can fool me.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.